Session 64, June 24, 1964. May I wish you a hearty good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, after missing our last scheduled session, Jane had my permission and even my blessing. I might mention that Rupert handled the situation with his father's mistress in a much more intelligent fashion than he would have if it were not for the insight he has gained as a result of these sessions. As of now, they are not married, and the woman is giving more than the man. When it is possible, I will give you more information along. I cannot pick up the bug. Rob, Willie had become interestingly active chasing insects. Finally, as Jane began dictating, he cornered a larger insect and then began to play with it about the living room floor. At first, Jane stepped around him. Finally, just beside my chair, she knelt, brushed Willie aside, and tried to pick up the insect he had been toying with. She was unable to do so, and then looked up at me. I told Jane to wait a minute, and laid my writing board aside. I knelt to pick up the insect and found it was quite difficult to do. I remember that it resembled a beetle. It was about half an inch long and was a beautiful light red-brown color, and lay helplessly on its back with its legs thrashing. It was very nicely shaped. I seemed to see it as though under a magnifying glass. All the details of its construction seemed crystal clear. When I did get it in my cupped hand without damage, I felt it struggling with surprising strength. I went to the kitchen window, opened the screen, and tossed the insect free. I sat back down and picked up my pen. Seth, thank you. I know your cat meant no harm, and would regret depriving him of his playmate, except that when it is possible, it is not only wise but advantageous to help any living creature, regardless of its stature, in your scheme of things. Rob notes, by now Willie was at it again, chasing more insects. Seth, you see, your cat suffers no ill effects from such play, although on another value level, it would be termed destructive. On your level, there must be a commitment in even the smallest such issues. Value fulfillment is not measured according to size, and in such cases, it is the value fulfillment, not of the captive so much as the potential savior. There is something here we may as well consider now, having to do with the cooperation existing between all living creatures in the construction of the physical universe. This interaction is extremely important, and the balance continues to be a delicate and sometimes perilous one. Rob notes, now Willie sat quietly at the open window, staring out into the night. Seth, we will take your cat and his bug. Your cat created the bug that it saw. The bug that he saw was a different construction from the bug that was seen by either of you. And all three constructions were different from the bug's physical construction of itself. These bug constructions, by various means, which we shall discuss, tallied in your camouflage space to an amazingly approximate degree. However, they were not by any means identical, either in space, time, or physical bulk. Quite literally, the cat's bug was larger and heavier in bulk, existed longer in his, that is, the cat's time, and also took up no space. Your bug, Joseph, differed in actual physical construction, also from Rupert's. It was better detailed and more precisely drawn, smaller in size from either Rupert's or the cat's, existed less in your camouflage time, and took up a measurably less amount of your space. Your cat is also different, a completely different construction for each of you. It is easier, perhaps, to understand if we first consider the difference between the bug's construction of the cat and the cat's construction of the bug before we go on. In comparison with a human's construction of your cat, for example, the bug creates a limited one, but one that is nevertheless efficient and valid for his own purposes. To your way of thinking, the bug does not construct a whole cat. Rob notes, after resting, Willie was once again active, almost perversely so, it seemed. Giving up chasing bugs, he now was busy tearing a small carton apart in the living room closet. The noise was surprisingly loud and came close to interfering with my hearing. Jane clearly. Seth, the bug's cat construction is a huge and terrifying animal mountain sort of construction. However, the construction is endowed with what we may call physical properties of which you are unaware. This is difficult to explain. A psychic coordination, a sensitive apathy received by the bug as to the nature of the cat created about the bug's construction of the cat bands in infrared, solid to both the cat and the bug. The bug then sees a gigantic but blurred, incomplete, so to speak, cat image, which is surrounded by infrared solidity, which is significant to the bug in terms quite incomprehensible to you. Rob notes, now Willie had deserted the torn carton. As he has done before occasionally, he gave a loud cry and jumped at Jane's ankles as she paced back and forth. He nipped her. Jane then remained still and quiet, while I once again got up. This time I put Willie in another room and shut the door. Seth, if you could be more aware of the matter in which other species view physical objects, you would easily see the great difference existing between various constructions of what you think of as one physical object. I suggest your break. Break at 9:31. Rob notes, Jane was dissociated until Willie nipped her. She said Seth had wanted her to pick up the bug herself, but even while dictating, she carried the parallel fear that the bug would bite. Just before Jane began dictating again, we let Willie into the room again to see how he would behave. He answered us by curling up in his favorite cane chair. Jane resumed in the same good, somewhat deeper voice at 9:42. Seth, there are completely separate constructions of energy into matter. You do not, and I repeat, you do not perceive all constructions into matter. You only perceive your own physical constructions. Rupert intuitively grasped this fact even before our sessions. Rob notes, here Seth refers to Jane's book, The World as Idea Constructions, which she began in the latter part of last year, 1963. The sessions began later in December 1963. Seth, there are obviously many points to be explained, but there are absolutely no exceptions to it. Telepathy is one of the main binders in the world of constructions. The similarities, and there may be an almost endless number of constructions, of what you might call one physical object, the similarities only seem so great because you see so little. The approximations in location, bulk, and seeming durability make it practical for you to think in terms of an apparent single object. The material that I have already given you concerning constant creation of physical objects is, of course, valid in terms of this newer discussion. Although it will surely sound complicated, let us for a moment once more return to a consideration of this chair. Rob notes, pausing beside our Kennedy rocker, Jane set it rocking back and forth. Seth, the chair, as constructed by Rupert, is constructed constantly when he is in the room. It is partially constructed by him when he is in another room in your apartment. When he is not at all concerned with the chair, he does not bother to construct it. He could be miles away, suddenly imagine this room, and instantly construct the chair. If he did, and if someone else were present in the room, they would not see it, for you are only aware of your own constructions. Rob, throughout these passages, I experienced many instances where Jane, while dictating, proceeded to answer questions that came to my mind as the material unfolded. The last paragraph is a particularly striking example. Seth, The physical matter that is the chair, or rather Rupert's chair, is formed as I explained, and no atom in it is the same today and tomorrow. He uses energy to construct his physical universe. You construct your own chair in the same manner, using different energy. And again, no atom of your chair is the same today and tomorrow. That same chair, so to speak, is constructed differently by everyone who enters your home. The question of its location in space is not difficult. Inner telepathic ground communications cover this very nicely. There are rather amusing slip-ups here that do occur, as when you bunk into a chair, for example, the fault here not being forgetful. It is remembering that causes the trouble. Rob, here Jane smiled broadly. Seth, you forget. That is, you forget to construct the chair in its current location. If you continued to ignore the lapse of construction, you would not suffer the bruise. But you remember just in time. Construct your chair where your knee is. There are many implications in this material, as you will see. Also remember that the atoms allow themselves to be used in these constructions, and that they contain the generalized subconsciousness and capsule comprehension of which I have spoken. I suggest your second break. Rob notes break at 10:05. Jane was dissociated as usual. She said her back, which had been bothering her during the day, felt fine while she was delivering the material. But as soon as breaks arrived, the nagging discomfort returned each time. Jane resumed in the same strong, rather energetic fashion at 10:14. Seth, measurements can be made of one so-called one physical object merely because inner communication is so exact and extensive. In our last session, during a break, Philip mentioned the television set as being one physical object, about which he believed you could all agree in any discussion of size, material, color, and dimension. I was concerned at the time with other data. However, we will go into this now. First, you and Philip and Rupert, when you are all present in the room, each construct from energy your own physical materialization of the idea television set. The idea is current. Otherwise, it is possible that the constructions would not all agree, but would gradually be brought into line. In your physical constructions of the television set, then, you are aided generally by the current idea of television set, as it exists in mass knowledge. Rob notes, here again, Jane proceeded to answer the questions that came to my mind one after the other. Seth, this applies generally with most other idea constructions, and later we will discuss the construction of an unfamiliar idea into physical construction, which is then classed as an invention. Your constructions of the television set are further aided by other hidden unconscious data, such as the material best suited for the constructions, the general size, shape, and color with which you have previously been familiar, all this being basic. You have also, on a telepathic level, a transmission of specifics which aids in giving more precise detail and aids in pinpointing approximate locations. All this without any cooperation from the atoms that compose the initial meaning first construction. This needs brief explanation. If the three of you turn your attention to the set, the first one to consider it from the so-called initial construction. This is for simplicity's sake. I have told you that all living, and I will use the term conditions, cooperate in the formation of your physical universe. Your construction of the set, Joseph, will involve the use of energy formed into various combinations of atoms and molecules, and these themselves give off vibrations that are received subconsciously, and also serve, therefore, to give indications of approximate location, bulk, and even particular matter and color to the subconscious mind of any observer, so-called, although he does not see your construction but forms his own, more or less in faithful replica, to what he has subconsciously perceived telepathically from you and any other constructor. From generalized notions of the idea behind the construction,
and from vibrations and even impacts received from the atoms and molecules that compose other constructions of the so-called single object. Now, due to variations existing in the capacity of various individuals to perceive, receive, and act upon such information, no constructions are exactly the same, though generally they appear the same, and for utility's sake they are effective enough. Slip-ups can occur along any of these mentioned lines. A thick black rubber hose in a backyard after dark for a moment actually becomes, or could become, to a timid soul, a particularly vicious, ridiculously long, and fat black snake. This is not a case of a hose looking like a snake. This is a failure of a different sort, according to whether or not the constructor of the hose is present or still constructing his object. There is something here that I will explain. I have briefly mentioned before, I believe, what I will term an afterimage. When you cease active construction of an object, the pattern begins to fade but remains inactive. Weak vibrations are present and can be perceived. Here we will imagine the weak pattern, form of the hose, and an individual perceiving the generalized pattern. There is a lack of further data, no telepathic message being perceived, perhaps. Going upon a little information at hand, given the darkness, fears come to the foreground. The individual actually constructs a snake, but a faulty, impossible one from the weak hose pattern. The snake, for reasons that we will discuss later, under these conditions, could not exist in your universe. If our individual calls for help, and if perchance the constructor of the hose answers the appeal, his hose construction would take precedence, filling its old pattern. I suggest your break. Rob notes break at 10:46. Jane was dissociated as usual. Once again, she said her back felt fine during the delivery of the material. She felt while delivering that Seth thought he had gone too far in giving us the hose snake material at this point, since it raised too many questions he didn't want to go into yet. While receiving this material, I seemed to be in a light trance state myself, feeling quite lethargic at times. My writing hand displayed no weariness. Jane resumed her rather deep voice, 10:55. Seth, I am keeping within my intention of holding rather brief recessions for a while. Nevertheless, there are a few points that I would like to make. The individual's ability to receive these impressions of which we have been speaking, and his ability to translate them and to construct them, is all determined by his own personal psychic background in past existences and in the present one, and by his own inner conception of himself, the physical universe, his place in it, and by his inner reactions to ideas. He actually creates his own environment, but this environment is created by him according to conceptions received telepathically now in childhood, in infancy, and even before birth. This, in itself, is extremely important, and we will deal with it rather extensively in terms of early limitations set by parental attitudes personally and collectively, in terms of individual self-realizations, and in terms of even national accomplishments and racial expectations. Limitations set upon the self are damaging to the race as a whole and impede value fulfillment. Psychic gates are closed by parents and fences set up around the self, closing out many important possibilities of growth and fulfillment. These barriers must be broken. As man's conception of himself enlarges, so will his actual capabilities and possibilities be extended. His psychic limitations are largely self-adopted. I will here close the session. We have covered much this evening, and there is much I would like still to cover. However, 11 o'clock time is now reasonable and overall effective closing time. Do not grow impatient. You will become, or you will have, plenty of time to become tired of me yet. Rupert, my bonus for an excellent session will be a more comfortable back. He is handling himself in a much more efficient manner lately, however, and all is well. I enjoy the children's sculpture and suggest you consider them, particularly the two large ones, as part of your more or less permanent household collection. And now, my old pie eyes, I bid you a fond good evening. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:01.